Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com. Hello and welcome to Eberron Renewed, an actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I'm your game master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
And welcome to another episode. Gentlemen, what happened last time?
We're waiting on some kidnapping.
We are, yes, we have begun the unstoppable motion has begun, and now we're just going to ride the train until something good or terrible happens. Vis-a-vis getting Aaron out of the Dreadhold. And also some stuff that our characters don't know happened there at the end.
Yes, yep. some third-person cutaways. Yeah, so you all are headed to the boats to go to the rendezvous point with Thirani, kind of a ways away from the Bilderat's docks. And then you can bring Viggo to Tarvel for the exchange. But I believe, as Philip so kindly stopped us before we did it off mic, some of you want to do some healing before we get going.
Yeah, Iris is going to attempt some first aid on Milo, who got pretty beat up in our encounter with our awesome doppelgangers. And since Iris knows how to heal, you know, cuts, chemical burns, abrasions, she will attempt this. Two success and one threat. Sounds about how Iris' first aid would go.
Two success, so I get what? Four wounds back, right?
Stop wincing. I believe that you heal one wound per success on a medical chair. Yeah. Yes. So you heal two wounds.
Thank you. Yes, I feel a bit better.
And Aeris takes a point of strain.
Yeah, I mean, I just have some wounds. So I think Hob notices that, hey, we have a second, and rubs some dirt on it, and
sure, well, do you want twice. Milo? Do you want Milo?
Milo.
Let Milo heal Hob.
That's exactly how I wanted it to play out. Yeah, that's Milo was, I mean, I am not that... I've only got 4 of 17 wounds gone. I'm actually not that hurt that bad. Unless, I mean, if you guys are both at 100%, then I may as well get there as well.
I'm fine.
I'm not.
I didn't think so.
But that's as many medicine checks as I'm allowed to attempt in this.
Course, and I would definitely like to heal some strain.
Yeah.
So can I medicine check on Hob to heal him and try to heal some strain as well, or no?
I would allow, if you do a medicine check on Hob, you can take the advantage for yourself to heal strain if you roll advantage.
Okay.
We love giving it to Hob.
Difficulty on that.
It'll make you feel better. It's only one purple because Hob's not that hurt.
Okay. Yeah, so you should get some strain back off of this. Exactly.
He
two.
Says.
It'll be one free spell.
He says moments before rolling.
something about before the fall.
Hey, that's exactly what happened.
Three success, two advantage.
So it didn't hurt you to help me. Thank you, Milo.
Awesome.
See, the problem is it doesn't cling. What you really want is some grease.
Yeah, Milo pulls out a little grease vial.
Okay. Ow!
But it's got to be mildly acidic, otherwise it wouldn't work.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Anything else that you all would like to do before you head for the boat? You have a handful of hours between now and then. I know we left off the last recording with you all resolved to do it, but we've had some time to think. If you all thought of anything you'd like to do in preparation, I assume Aeris has all the necessary implements. Thought. So, yeah.
We've definitely Share been the thinking thought. About it. Definitely. We've definitely been thinking about it. That's definitely what's been happening in the interim. No, I got absolutely nothing. As far as I know, we have done all the things that can be done to control what will happen next.
Cool. Okay. So,
well, other than the things that can go wrong.
Well, yes.
Right, but we can't control those.
That's left up to the dice.
That would be us not having control part.
Okay, so you all get the boat that you pre-ranged and head out into the water. As you all are pushing off the dock, I'd like everyone, and this kind of relates to the whole journey to get to the boat. I'd like everyone to give me, or you all can do it as a group. I need a stealth check.
What is doing it as a group? Mean
you take one person's base attribute and one person's ranks in the skill and combine them if that creates a better pool.
Good. Aeris will contribute nothing to that as her pool is two green.
My pool is identical to Aeris's.
I got two
oh really
yellow,
I thought you'd be more agile than me.
Two yellow, two green.
Sounds looks like Milo's making
Milo is the one rolling for both of
us. Purely by his size, Milo is healthier than either of us.
I was about to say, I am willing to allow Reynard's skills to play into it just since metatextually, Milo's stealth is better. So,
Reynard has, you know, kind of been working with Milo on his stealth skills. That's mm-hmm. why they're at what they are, see?
Yeah. Okay, so it's one red, two purple is the difficulty, Randy.
You want stealth? What if I tell you Sana's been with us the whole time?
All right, one red, two purple.
We didn't even see her. She's in the boat. All right.
One of each good
one
thing.
Success, one advantage, one triumphant.
Cool. So, yeah, you all successfully, you all are probably aware at this point, and it makes sense that you would try to be at least a little bit stealthy, that you've had multiple people in the past day follow you. So, yeah, you are confident that you have found back roads, alleyways, smugglers' routes throughout Sharn to where nobody could reasonably have followed you to this small dock where you have a boat stashed and waiting for you. You have an advantage and a triumph, everyone.
Could I heal another
Milo,
strain?
I mean, you can take that advantage to heal a strain if you like.
Yes, I would definitely like to do that.
I'll fill the empty Trevor vacuum and say, can the triumph be that everything goes well?
Yeah, can we just win? Is that okay?
I guess. So, cut to Aaron sits Trevor's behind Satan's desk with a smile on her face.
God, Hob? Hob God? Man, Randy, don't think okay, I don't appreciate the triumph, but boy, what a cruddy time to get.
I know it.
I have a genuine proposal for the triumph.
I'd love to hear
it. That is simple. It's not very narratively interesting, but we're kind of in the beginning, and we always have this trouble with triumphs at the beginning. Eris and Milo do spells. Eris and Milo have still some strain. Can we just wipe the strain?
I think that sounds great.
Everybody feels real confident. We feel good about it.
Sure. Just wipe, yeah.
I like it.
Then let's just, instead of using that advantage to heal one strain, since the triumph is clearing out the rest of the strain, let's pass a boost to the next roll, just so the advantage isn't wasted. Okay, so you all get into the boat and push off and head to the designated spot that you and Alistair agreed upon and wait.
I like to think that Milo had a little elixir that he forgot about in his pouch. Take a sip of this, my friends.
it's one of the test vials from Eris's potion making.
Yeah. Hob became an ostrich. You guys feel amazing.
Yes, I forgot Eris, I had this little vial.
In making the shrinking potion, Eris discovered super coffee.
Okay. So you all feel good, body strong. And
wait, we cured our wounds too?
No.
Strong.
Like, you know, stamina-wise.
Yeah,
quiet, Randy. And you all see a small blip coming down the shoreline in the cover of darkness.
Blimp?
A blimp?
Blip. Blip. B-L-I-P. Oh, that's like, how Thorani rolls. Just small little blimps.
Really? They're really old-fashioned. And they just tied elemental stuff.
They tied Vigo to a balloon and shoved him down the shore, figuring they'll find him.
Amazing. I was digging it for a second there.
So, yeah, you all see a small blip with a unnatural amount of shadow. It's not like a cloud of shadow, but definitely it's like a cloud passes in front of the moon in time with this ship coming down the shoreline, making it very difficult to make out who is in it. The only thing you can really spot is the disturbance of the water as it moves through down the shoreline. Once they get close enough,
Eris gets the Fletcher out and lays it against the railing lays it against the gunwale of our boat, and just
That's fair. Anybody else doing anything in preparation of the ship getting closer?
Yeah, Hob cocks his biceps.
I will say Eris aims.
Okay, Milo, anything?
Well, he sees what Eris is doing, and then of course, anytime he sees Hob flex, he pulls out his wand.
Knows it's fighting time.
Let me build an exoskeleton for your arms. You could actually cock them.
It kind of goes against my whole thing, though. I've cultivated a bit of a thing.
It's not your vibe.
Hob turns sidelong to the approaching boat to present a slimmer target.
Yeah, so once it gets close enough, you see the shadows begin to dissipate, and you see a couple of elves with very prominent marks showing. You don't recognize either elf. As they get close, and they...
I like it. We just haven't met any of the competent ones, because he said he was going to put competent people on this. These must be the competent people we've never met.
He's not even here to... Yep, fine.
That's kind of what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm talking about. this is like the most important moment we've ever done, and he didn't bother to show up.
There's not a lot of arguing with that, is there?
So, one of the breaches down, and you see them grab a moderate-sized bundle that's in a vaguely humanoid shape, and the other one looks at you all, and Alistair sent us.
Excellent.
He gives a nod.
Vigo.
Go. What were you going to say, Philip?
Is that Vigo?
Yes.
Vigo Boron.
It's George.
God, stop.
Yes. And he just jerks to the other one, and the other elf puts a foot on the edge of Ural's boat to brace, and then just kind of, like a sack of potatoes, dumps Vigo into
it. Urs makes absolutely no move to cushion that fall.
Yeah.
Does it let out a groan? Is it a sack of potatoes that grunts?
There's no noise that came out. Yeah. Okay. Which might be concerning, but that's not their problem.
He's alive.
When he entered your boat, he was. And the other one shoves his foot off of your boat, and they begin to float away from you. And the shadows, like, re-envelop them.
Possibly.
Urs will pull the...
some shadows.
There's like, a bag over...
Yeah.
Urs will pull the bag up just to make sure this is, in fact, the halfling we asked for.
It's another Vigo, you know? It's a very common Boromar name. They show up with four bodies. We couldn't figure out which one you meant.
Brought your Vigos.
No, yeah, you recognize Vigo Boromar. His face looks very slack, like there is no real effort to control his body right now. You see very shallow breathing, but it's, well... Yeah, that's what you notice. Shallow breathing and a very slack face. If you want to know more information, you can make a check. But
it wouldn't be right. Like, it wouldn't be useful to, like... I really want him to know he did it. Like, I want to leave a note pinned to his arm or something. Write one on his forehead.
That
wouldn't help. No, that wouldn't help.
No, that
wouldn't help. I know, it wouldn't help.
We're going to have to rely on the satisfaction of a job well done here.
I'm sure we're already putting Aaron under an immense amount of strain this. So, notes.
I know. Just don't proper vengeance if he doesn't know we did it.
He might have a good idea.
Eris, imagine him for the rest of his time here on Earth, in the Dreadhold, not knowing who did it, wondering.
Oh, wait, I know how to teleport things into his cell. I can just send him a note later.
That's also gonna work, yeah. Well, as long as you figured it out.
We are on our way back, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, we're going.
We've just been floating.
Floating on the tide.
Let's sit here.
You look up and the shoreline is gone.
Frack. Does anyone know how to row?
My arms are not quite long enough.
Hob just on the side of the boat.
Hob, get out and swim.
Yeah. I never learned.
All right. So you all.
Can medicine check on him to see what's up with him?
Sure. One red difficulty.
As we row back.
Yes.
Hey.
Two success. Three advantage.
Yes. So as the others are rowing back to the Bilge Rat's docks, Milo, or at least in that direction, examining the body, you recognize that this poison that the Thirani kidnappers, I was trying to think of the right noun to give them.
That was the professional term for that.
Yeah, right? Bag and taggers. They use a poison.
Yep. They work in human resources.
Yeah, that's very, very funny. Very funny. If we were playing D&D, you'd get an inspiration, Philip. So, Milo, you figure out the type of poison that was used is from a particular type of flower that's only really found in Arenal, that when distilled down allows the subject to be put in a very intensely deep sleep with extremely vivid nightmares of their death.
Well, Eris, it appears that I don't know how often they use this, but they've got him in a very deep sleep where he's experiencing some extreme nightmares of his death.
That's awesome. It's really like that.
Eris, you're not going to like hearing this, but I don't like that at all.
Sorry, Eric said while the others are rowing back, and I'm picturing how many strokes Eris would need to make for each one of Hobbs in order for us to not just be rowing in circles.
Eris could be the rudder, or Hob could just be at the front, you know, be in the engine, and Eris could just be keeping the direction. Are you all headed directly to the Bilge Rat's docks, or were you going to try to be circuitous about it?
Okay. Oh, no.
We want to get there as quick as we can, because...
Yeah. Tarvel is expecting
you. Very watchful.
It's a smuggler's dock.
Of this package longer than we need to.
Yeah. In fact, you all know through your time with the clan, I'm more than happy to hand wave this and say that this is knowledge that you all would have. As you're approaching the Bilgerat docks, you would know to send up a signal of a sound that sounds like a specific bird native to Breeland. Philip, what kind of bird is the signal noise?
It goes, look at me!
I love it.
I hate you. Trying to do a cool narrative thing. Whatever.
I can make no bird sounds whatsoever.
So I was just asking for the species of the bird, but it's fine. Oh. It's the look at me bird.
It's the greater Narcissus.
God. Hope you all have enjoyed Everon Renewed, but this will be the... I expect it from him, he says, pointing at Jeff.
I know, because there was... there was a little bit of there was some cerebral content to that. I'm like, well, it's called the butt bird.
No, that was a very funny joke. So yes, you all make the noise of the Narcissus bird.
The greater Narcissus.
The greater Narcissus. And
well, if you ask it, it's the greater Narcissus.
The smaller of the species.
Yes, I can't remember what the lesser sounds like.
That's funny.
Right, because it's less vocal about it.
Yeah, he's more quiet.
The lesser one's just smug. Welcome to Wingspan.
you all make the requisite noise, and you see the bottom part. So the docks are obviously built for larger ships coming in to port. There are some shorter docks, but one of the larger docks, you see the bottom third of it slide up, revealing a hidden dock that you all are able to go into to remain out of sight. So you all go under, and the darkness gets even darker. You see faint bits of moonlight coming in through the slats of the dock above you, and you eventually reach the end of what is basically a wooden tunnel built into water, and the floor above you slides open, and you see Tarvel standing over you, and he reaches down and offers a hand to one of you to help you up.
Milo grabs his hand.
Eris clambers out and looks around. Coast clear.
Give me a perception check.
With what difficulty shall I make this?
Two purple, but it's nighttime, so add a black, and I'll flip a story point. So one red, one purple, one black.
Is there some aspect of the goggles that negates darkness?
It adds boosts to all of my cunning checks, which counts for this.
Right.
I think Reynard's the only one that has dark vision that removes darkness.
I will flip a story point and upgrade once.
Okay.
Okay. Rolling. Two success. Five advantage.
Nice.
So yes, you look around and you are confident, Eris, that the coast is clear. You do not spot anybody lurking about. And in fact, you kind of note that there's less, it's like 4:30 in the morning at this point. So like, you don't expect a lot of activity. Sharn, like, there are beings that only need to sleep or meditate for 4 hours a night. So the town never really fully shuts down. And it seems quiet even for 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Five advantage.
A free upgrade on the next check.
Sure. G1 better. Free upgrade and a boost. And that's now two boosts because we did not use the boost. Yep. So
my bad.
It's okay. I didn't remember either. Tarvel reaches down towards Hob and kind of points at the body to pass the body up.
I mean, I just want to clarify, this is not a quiet, almost too quiet situation. It kind of sounded like that's what you were insinuating.
I mean, to your all's perspective, maybe, because like it's quieter than you ever seen a block of the city be.
Right. But okay. Well, I mean, if Tarvel's there and ready for the handoff, Hob does it.
Okay. Tarvel obviously kind of struggles a little bit since him and Vigo have a much similar body mass, but manages to get him up on the dock. And Tarvel looks at you all, presumably as Hob is climbing out of the hole. And any problems?
No.
There's some black lamps trying to kill us, but I don't think that it relates specifically. Well, obviously that what they're doing relates to all of this, but I don't think that will affect this thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah, I think you told him about the black lamps already because you were on your way to meet with him when they attacked you. So he's not shocked by that information. But okay. Well, let's get him into my office, Tarvel says as he begins to walk towards his office door. As you all get into his office, you see that he has pulled his desk a little bit away from the wall. And the painting that covers the safe that has the teleportation circle in it is off the wall, and the door is open to the safe. It seems like he got everything prepped and ready for you all, and He kind of looks expectantly at you three and is like, okay, what now?
Eris takes out a little leather case and lifts the open, unfolds it, opens it. There's little vials in loops. She lays her hand on one, and then in the only manifestation of Eris's unusually high presence, pretends that that's the wrong one and puts her and makes an elaborate show of her face and moves her fingers back to the other one and pulls out a couple of identical ones, one of which is wrapped in a bit of parchment with instructions. Okay. It's not wrapped in a bit of parchment. She's put an adhesive on it. It's got prescription-like instructions on the outside of the vial, because of course. She sets that in the little canister. He needs to drink this one.
Okay. Yeah, also,
go down his throat.
Tarvel grabs a vial off of his desk and kind of shows it to you all. After the transfer is done and we confirm that Aaron is safe and sound, I'm going to pour this in that hole. And Eris, you can easily recognize it as an extremely caustic acid. Like any kind of runic markings or anything to activate the teleportation circle will be destroyed and rendered useless. So yeah, Tarvel's going to cut the bridge once it happens. So,
did you bring clothes for her?
What was that?
Did you bring clothes for her?
Yeah, and there's a small satchel on the couch in his office. Yeah, because you told him that she would be naked.
Yeah, we told him.
Yeah.
Either way, he would have brought clothes because, hey, yeah, welcome home. Means you're in your prison jumpsuit.
Watch your mouth.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, administer the potion.
Yep.
He naturally swallows once the liquid enters his mouth, and you see this Vigo disappear effectively, because now there is just a large burlap sack sitting on Tarvel's desk with a little bump in it.
Quick. And Eris lifts the burlap sack away before he suffocates. All right. There's your tiny Vigo.
Tarvel kind of takes the tiny Vigo from you and just kind of looks in his hand. And just like, when you get used to things, then something happens that just, yeah.
Should have seen what Hob turned into while I was working on it.
We don't need to keep talking about it.
It was so good.
Look,
so
you're going to wonder. It was an ostrich. You're going to wonder if I don't tell you.
So you gave Tarvel the tiny Vigo and then the vial with the note, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So he takes the two things, walks over to the safe and places them in, shuts the door and turns the latch to activate the teleportation circle. And then just there's a...
Eris just flips the sidearm out of its holster, because I don't know what's going to come through. I don't know what's about to happen. I think I know what's about to happen. I hope I know what's about to happen, but just stands ready.
Does Hob have to notice those sorts of things, or have we been together enough that he knows?
I assume Hob can notice those sorts of things.
So Hob can put out the steady.
Steady. Steady.
A little palm down, hand out to Eris.
Yep.
Definitely twitchy.
Let's presume success, Eris.
Twitchier.
After
all signs point to, we're going to nail this one with no bumps, just like everything else we've ever done.
After probably about 45-ish seconds, you hear a tone come from one of the drawers in Tarvel's desk that sounds like a very low note tuning fork, like just a very like constant hum of a singular tone. And he lets out a breath as he rushedly flips the latch, opens the door, and then reaches in and pull. Like, you see him have something in his hand and he sets it on the desk, and then all of a sudden a naked desk. Halfling weapon appears sitting on Tarvel's desk.
Hob turns away.
Sorry, Aaron. Close.
Eris and shoves Milo to turn away.
Yes.
Tarvel rushes over to the couch and grabs the satchel and hands them to Aaron. As she is silent while she's getting dressed, and then she stands and walks around the desk and thank you for your help.
Welcome home, Aaron. I'm sorry about the circumstances.
Thank you, Milo. I do appreciate it. It's been a long time. And Tarvel takes her hand like, it has. It's the right thing to do. Tarvel told me that you all had some plans, things that you were hoping that you could accomplish and I could accomplish. Perhaps lunch tomorrow?
Okay. It's probably not a very good idea for people to generally know that you're here.
I know. Tarvel told me the nature of the situation and what's been going on with the clan and my family. And I don't intend to leave this office. We have some smuggler's tunnels that come out of here, so I can get back to our home if I need to. But no one will know what has happened unless the Dreadhold makes a stink about it, but that's not really their style. So unless you all need anything from me, I would ask that you leave me and my husband, please.
Hey, before we go, Tarvel, you want me to kind of points to the vial that he said he was going to pour down the portal that Hob notices has yet to be poured.
Tarvel grabs the vial and throws it into the opening, and you smell like caustic acid and everything like start to burn.
Tarvel said, "Good riddance." Wow.
And yeah, thanks, Hob.
So you suggested lunch tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes. Let's just meet here. You all can have an appointment with Tarvel in his office, and we can talk then. Okay.
All right. We'll be here around lunchtime.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we're off.
Okay.
Right.
As you all get about 5 steps away from Tarvel's office, you hear what sounds like a physical altercation begin in Tarvel's office. But you, context, probably know that everything's fine. And are you all just taking the boat back to the dock where you got it, or are you walking home? What's the plan?
Tasha's
back where you got in the... I guess you can call Tasha here. Yeah. Forget about your magic boat.
We arranged to be picked up by our ship.
Yes. Okay, so yeah. Tasha shows up. Still creepily quiet in the neighborhood. But yeah, you all just head back to the cauldron, or are you dropping Milo off at home? Like, what's the... And Hob off at home?
Do we need...
I suppose?
Suppose what?
That's what we'll do? But unless someone suggests something else.
I mean, we don't really need to debrief. We kind of just put one of the biggest problems we've had in the Dreadhold forever. And that is good.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Like, I know we have a whole mess of problems with Aaron being out now. But, well, I suppose take those as they come. So I'll just go home then.
Yes, I'm definitely need some rest.
You guys, I mean... Should you stay at your places? Do you want me to drop you at the sales? Stay in rooms there?
You know, after everything that's been happening and people following us and attacking us and stuff, I'm not sure going home is probably the best option.
I guess we've actually established that Hob is fairly safe staying at Savia's, but if Milo and Eris seem concerned, he'll be like, oh yeah, perhaps we should all bunk down
together. If something does go wrong, we're all not scattered across the city.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
Down the street.
You're right. I'd feel a lot better if we were all together. Says, thinking he's needing to comfort someone else, but not really understanding what's happening.
If you all would like to give me a perception check, you can do either all of you individually or a group check.
Oh, guys, are we going to see how much our friendship's grown?
So much.
My perception is 4 green.
I've got 2 and 1. I should have 2 and 2, I thought. I guess I never did the thing.
So you could do 2 yellow, 2 green... Okay. Plus all of Eris's fiddly bits for cunning checks. Plus 2 boost and an upgrade.
Holy cow. So mine would
be... My perception's 1 yellow, 2 green.
What's the difficulty?
The difficulty is it would normally be 1 red, 2 purple, but I'm going to flip the story and make it 2 red, 1 purple.
2 red, 1 purple.
Okay. And set back because it's nighttime.
We still have a boost, do we not?
So
or two?
I've got him.
Yeah.
The okay. pool, the total pool with all of our various things is 2, well, I guess it's going to end up being 3 yellow, 1 green, 4 blue against 2 red, 1 purple, 1 black.
That sounds fun to me.
It sure could be. It is. 6 successes and 1 advantage.
So probably the most boring possible.
Very successful.
I know. What do we, what does Eris see through space and time?
So this isn't to say that you need to go actively pursue this or anything, but you do hear kind of nearby where you're flying Eris towards High Walls. You hear like an explosion and then immediately followed by sounds of some kind of fighting.
Near High Wall?
No, not near High Wall.
It turns around, pulls down a map.
Activates his weatherman green screen.
You hear it in Cogsgate, which is like you all were almost to High Walls. High Walls shares a border with Cogsgate, which is a warehouse district. But you also know that Cogsgate, you know, it's not just used for warehouses. It's like Kundarak has a presence there. So things that people want like stored, locked away. Sharn City Watch has a jailhouse in Cogsgate. So...
Probably don't need to look at that. Look into that, right, guys? We just fly on by the explosion. How curious are we? Sounds of battle.
Yes, no. I'm not ready for any more battles at the moment.
Well, I was being sarcastic. Adventure has obviously been presented to us.
You all don't have to.
We should at least know what's going on, right?
Absolutely. Yes, all the time.
Right.
Oh, we're the busiest of bodies.
We are very curious.
Eris banks Tasha hard, and we zoom around to take a look from a reasonable distance, at least, to figure out what's going on before we are mixed into it, if ever we be.
Okay.
So.
You're able to kind of fly a little bit high, not too high, because obviously Cogsgate is underneath another district. So as you're kind of weaving around through it in the early morn, you see some flashes of fire, like little orange motes of light that are moving in between some of the warehouses. And as you get closer, you got a really good perception check. I'll let some of those successes carry over. You recognize and see Norsen Milhatch sprinting in between some warehouses, being chased by a figure that seems to be made of fire to a certain extent. Like they seem to be humanoid clothed, but also made of fire.
Is that fire wearing a very well-tailored suit?
That would
be more like leather armor, if you had to put a specific style on it. Black, really cool. Looks very cool.
Does their head look like a skull?
You can't really tell from this angle. It just looks like fire.
Okay. I need help reacting to this.
Hold on. Let me make a roll to see.
Because that's Norsen, and I mean, that fiery dude wants to kill Norsen.
Yes.
I rolled that for Eris for some reason. That was my roll, not Eris's roll. As you all are trying to process how to react.
Says my name, my triumph.
You see the fiery figure extend a hand out, and a fiery chain erupts from it and around Norsen's legs, and Norsen stumbles as the figure like tugs back, and Norsen begins to slide towards them with the triumph. This is going to sound weird, but I promise this is me using the triumph. These are the only figures that you see in the scene.
Okay,
so the ram is hidden.
Well, I think
the ram was the friends we made along the way.
I think we now know who the person is using fire killing people, whoever that is.
I mean, no, we don't know who that is. We know it's that person.
Right, we know that's the guy. We have no idea who it is.
Right.
At this point, Norsen is close enough where the figure bends over and picks up Norsen by the scruff of his shirt and lifts him.
So Eris throws it into a dive with the intention of screaming to a stop, of drifting to a stop.
How is water piped to the tops of these towers? Is it external if I flip a story point?
Define external. Like pipes?
Yeah, like it, yeah, no, not like it's free-floating like water by pipes, magic.
Is there a water tower close by?
Running along, like pipes running along the exterior of the towers.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. I will say that it is cost prohibitive to create water runes all over the city. So they have like really big ones in one location and pipes that flow it out to where it's needed.
Fantastic. That costs a story point, yes.
Yes.
You got it. Just okay, wondering, okay. Just checking. I know that we've diverted a big water pipe to put out a fire before, actually, in the cogs. That's for true. Sigil. So that has precedent. Great, wonderful, perfect. I'm taking my story point back. We already did this, Eric. Okay, I wanted to establish that because that's something Hob can do is break a pipe, I have to assume.
Yeah, okay, so
to throw us into this situation, basically.
Okay, so the figure turns and looks and sees you all screaming down and tosses Milhatch to the side as like Milhatch like cracks up against some walls, and it turns and like faces you all, not in a defensive stance. It is prepared to defend itself, but it's not like running towards you to attack, if that makes sense. Eris should be familiar with this kind of stance. They're twitchy. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, sweep down Intasha, pull it up, and pile out, I assume.
Yeah, you see a figure in leather armor, black leather armor, gloves, boots, covered head to toe except for from the neck up, and you see a flaming skull staring at you all. It regards you silently. The chain is still wrapped around Norsen, though. Like, Norsen can't get up and take off. Like, it's holding, like, a leash, the chain wrapped around Norsen's legs.
I was everything okay here, guys? What did we do?
Eris brought us here.
All right, ding dong.
We're through a long, complicated series of things that Eric has created in Eris that require her to do something about this.
I know. I don't even know what to say. Like, do we say? Do we speak?
Can it know. Speak? Like,
we obviously know what's going on as far as with going to kill Milad.
You all drift like Tokyo drifted into this scene, and so they are waiting for you to explain yourself.
Right? I just want to know one thing: why I'm getting awfully tired of being blamed for your actions.
Hey, so like we know why
that's
we don't
why
like
we're here. That's what it is. Yes,
and we know why we don't like this guy. We're wondering, well, maybe why you don't like this guy, and maybe we can find some common ground for you to quit framing our friend for several murders.
Unhand our nemesis?
The enemy of my enemy. I don't even know, man.
What the frack is going on?
Yes, and I really am getting tired of being followed and blamed for what appear to be your actions.
The figure looks at the three of you and then glances over at Norsen on the ground. And you hear them say, "He must be punished for his transgressions." And then he kind of looks at Eris, and you have a faint bit of the stink on you too. But
look,
no.
I've been out.
That's rude.
And we were down by the docks. You go down by the docks and see if you don't smell a bit.
Look, no one's arguing that he needs to pay for his transgressions. The stink of what?
Yeah, the stink of...
Can you even smell?
No, not right now, Eris. He was going to answer. He was answering!
The stink of... destructive ardor. Oh. The stink of her.
What?
Her?
I'm gonna need more words. I need more words.
You've only got a bit of it, so can't be somebody we spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, I can't think. Who are you saying I smell like? I don't understand.
There is a entity that lives beneath this city. Grows more powerful the more reckless people are. I seek to stop those that would awaken her.
The more reckless people are.
Do I need to make a perception check? Hearing this talk, Hob's going to start clocking this guy for any demon hunter paraphernalia he might have on his person. It is reminiscent talk.
Yes, it is reminiscent talk. You do not clock any visual similarities between this guy and Orla or that
the gang. Okay.
Yeah.
And Eris would
there goes
like...
my attempt at common ground.
Eris would
you're talking the same language. It may just stop me. Yeah.
Eris would like to skullduggery to use the properties of the goggles to start lining up a shot at the chain around Norsen while we have this entity talking.
Okay. So this would be...
What's happening? What's happening?
Let me get the difficulty for you.
That's fine. I clicked and something glitched and it clicked like 18 times.
Whoa.
And so I have to clear some six anyway.
Well, you're not allowed to roll all those dice, so...
I wasn't planning on it.
Cannot find one of my Genesis Core rulebook PDFs.
No. You said Eris was just getting ready to shoot if she needed to?
Lining up a shot without the figure noticing.
Okay. Yeah.
We hope.
Yeah, she's trying to line up the shot without raising her weapon while we are still talking.
Okay.
We're having a perfectly good conversation with the guy.
Eris would like to be prepared for when the conversation stops being perfectly good.
Look, he just said you stink. Is that enough to really put a gun?
She wants to shoot the chain off of Norsen.
Sure she do. Sure she do.
Sure she do.
A little piratey there.
I dabble.
Sure she do.
I spent a bit of time on a boat recently, if you recall. I think after you've been stabbed by some pirates, you get to occasionally appropriate their vernacular. Matey.
Amazing and ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
just picturing a setting in which pirates are really sensitive about landlubbers using their terminology.
Hey, you know, I almost said a joke that I think as a native person I should be able to get away with, but not enough people know that I'm native that I'm not.
But not record it.
You know, a slogan you see a lot around Halloween.
You're gonna have to explain this to me when we're not recording.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I just a pirate poster with "My culture is not your costume" on it made the idea. Of,
oh, okay.
I mean, that's, which is not bad, funny. Again, but
that is very funny, and yes, I think you're very in bounds there. That's very funny.
But if I had just screamed, "My culture is not your costume,"
yes, I can,
which is what I almost did.
I see the wisdom in not doing that.
Okay, sorry. So, Eris, you are trying to clock this. I'm just getting their perception, is what I was needing to get to notice that you're doing this. What's your skullduggery?
I have 2 yellow, 2 green, and I get 2 blue from the goggles.
Okay. Since this would be an opposed check, I'll tell you difficulty, and you can elect whether or not you want to do this, because this is an agent of hunting down things and killing them, so they have a 5 cunning and 3 ranks in perception, so it'd be 3 red, 2 purple would be the difficulty. You're more than welcome to, just wanted to let you know. You can flip a story point if you want.
No, that's probably a bad idea to ruin this too quickly. Okay.
You can say that you're at Eris the ready.
Unable to see where this creature's eyes are pointing, Eris can't figure out mm-hmm. how to do it.
Yeah.
What I would like to know is, you say he needs to be punished, but he was already imprisoned. You mean like permanent punishment?
Your prisons mean nothing.
He means kill. He's going to kill him.
Yes.
Or a cosmic punishment, it feels like.
Why not just leave him to rot in prison?
As long as he lives, he gives her power. And then,
wanting to be reckless is enough?
Eventually, this time was going to run out, wasn't it? The person doing over there, is he just...
I mean, the chains are clearly like... He's groggy. He's like,
sure.
Clearly had his bell rocked. And I seek not to quarrel or fight with you. I also seek not to justify my actions to you. Do you wish to stop me?
So you're trying to prevent a greater evil by killing this man?
Every time you burn somebody up, our friend gets blamed. And see, the problem is, now I've created a situation where we're actually present at the scene of the crime that you're about to commit. And so it's going to be a lot harder for us to point to the really obvious alibi we've had every other time that somebody mysteriously dies and our friend gets blamed.
Tell them it is me. I fear not your justice.
That's weird.
I mean, we scoff at it pretty regularly too, Eris.
Right, it's just kind of an intense thing to say.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It was kind of cool. Who are you?
Yeah.
I am his harbinger.
Who? Look, do these people have, do these entities have names? Can I learn something about them somewhere? Perhaps, I'm very...
Right you said, now, from you.
You said the stink of them is on my friend, and you are killing people who are involved with them, so I'd like to learn about this a bit.
I am a spirit of preservation. I serve some of the greater devils.
Wait, I thought devils were bad. Aren't devils bad?
Well, no, Eris, first off, let's not do that in front of the flaming head guy. He doesn't right. say.
He yanks on the chain to pull Milhatch a little bit closer and says, mm-hmm. Are we done here?
Can you take him elsewhere?
No, Frack.
Are you about to?
Yeah.
I can't punch the, okay. And Hob starts.
At this point in my life, I really don't care what he does to Milhatch. I'm sorry.
At the exchange of the, are we gonna, yeah, the chain around Milhatch, he throws it to the ground. And cool. Like the end of the chain turns into a spike and it sinks into the stone of the warehouse district and extends his other hand and a large like bastard sword wreathed in flame emerges. But you can tell that the chain segmented to where it could extend out into a chain if so desired.
All right, I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, good move, Eris. We don't have anything that does that.
Back. And Eris will activate the array of flechette launcher on her gauntlet. And
okay, let's roll initiative.
I don't know what we're doing.
I'll let you do cool or vigilance.
Eris can't let this guy kill Harbin's dad.
I know. And I can't let this guy kill Eris, so here I stand.
So yep. Here we are.
Milo's heart is not in it at all.
Well, if we get rid of this guy, people will stop showing up cooked from the inside.
And Milo getting blamed for it.
2-2.
Peasy, peasy, peasy.
Pretty good initiative rolls on our part, so that's nice.
I don't know how I'm going to punch the flame guy.
With your fists.
I mean, I have, like, you know, via D&D and D&D adjacent game logic, I have had this staff on me the entire time we've been hanging out. We just don't ever mention it. I don't take it off when I sit down, but it's there.
I mean, look, there's like no muscle and sinew holding his skull on.
Right.
So I think if you punch it hard enough, you just fly right off.
Okay.
Well,
so
that person has a very high vigilance roll.
He does. Literally built different.
What's vigilance based off of?
Willpower. Okay, so since it is the start of the encounter, the initiative slots are NPC, NPC, then PC, PC, PC. And on his monster card, I need everyone to make a fear check as he lets out a bellowing, devilish, demonic wail at the start of the encounter. It is a hard fear check, so 3 purple.
I'm so bad at that.
What are we? Discipline. What are we rolling?
Right. A fear check. So let me confirm that. It's on page 243 of the Genesis Core Rulebook for those of you reading along at home. Fear.
Adventuring.
Yes, a discipline skill check.
Alchemy.
So can Milo get any boost dice? Because Milo's about halfway on his side.
But you still acknowledge that at this point he seeks to kill you. Like,
so he's okay.
I could be in an area that's getting deforested and come across a bear and be like, man, I'm on your side. This sucks. Doesn't change the fact that the bear's going to eat me. Like,
but right. What about the fact that Hob ain't scared of nothing? Is that going to be the problem?
So what is the difficulty?
Hey, Hob ain't scared of nothing.
3 purple. Aeris, just take 2 strain.
2 successes, baby.
2 success, 2 threat for me.
Milo, 1 success, 3 threat. 3 threat might be able to do with something more interesting, and also Milo's strain is a precious resource.
Yeah, so it is.
I think it makes complete narrative sense that at this point, even if we are scared, it's just not going to affect us. Like, at this point, it's like,
Aeris is...
we've been scared, and we got to do this now, because Aeris started it. And...
I'm Aeris scared, channels, but I'm Aeris kind channels of on your fear. Side.
So with you all succeeding your fear checks, you all stand resolute. Milo, just add an upgrade to the first check that you make in the encounter with your 3 threat on that fear check. So the figure lets out a demonic wail as their sword glows even brighter and they raise it to attack you. End of episode. Thank you all so much
demonic
for listening.
Demonic whale, the worst kind.
That's the second NPC slot, is the demonic whale he let out.
That's right.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to be part of the discussion surrounding this episode, you can head over to our Discord link, to which you can find on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/thegeekpantheon. If you want to financially support the shows, you can do so over there, or you can buy some merch at thegeekpantheon.com. There's also a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thegeekpantheon, where I post TTRPG-related videos all the time. And then there is a sister channel of sorts called The Laughing Tree, where there is an actual play called Kyber Shards, GM'd by Philip, played in by me, set in the city of Stormreach using D&D 5th edition. And yeah, it's a good show. Check it out. Thank you all so much for listening. I've been your Game Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
Jeff.
We'll see you next time.